The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Now, I think that's kind of humble on my part. Daily. I could have said hourly. Some people think it's weekly and monthly dose of suffering. Well, whatever you can measure it into, that's fine with me. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. This is big screen radio, high definition radio. Pulchritudinous, mellifluous, pugnacious, truculent, obstreperous. That's about as high definition as you're going to get. Good to have you with me. So very, very good. Program is a call-in program, and I just wish all these people that are the publicists for all these folks would quit jamming up my email inbox. Oh, takes me forever to get to you folks who email me because there's 27 of them for every one of you. Delete, 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 delete. The number to get onto the program, we will not delete you if you get on the program. I mean, we will, but you know the ratio of calls we've deleted compared to calls that come in? It's got to be maybe 1 to 50. Something like that. And when Melissa is here, soft, sensitive, nurturant Melissa, it's one in every 7,298. She'll get in my earphone and say, "You have to take this. I know you can't hear their phone, but they seem so sweet and so nice, and you just got to take it." Good thing we got the guys on that side because every once in a while they say, "Hey, the phone connection's no good. We got to have them call back." And you can do that. 877-573-7825. Yeah, we don't get anybody calling back for compliments. That never happens. They give it their one compliment and then they hang up. The last one we had was October 14th, 2012. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to get onto the program. Why? Well, all I got to do is talk about what's going on with COVID, and we'd have a bazillion people want to weigh in on this program. And I'm becoming more and more convinced it is at the very least questionable. They just closed a couple more schools after opening up, closing them up in our area. Why? Well, I guess someone tested positive, so that's it. Shut it all down. Don't talk about the relative risk. Don't talk about all the other factors. Just go with a number. A number is all that counts. Interestingly enough, in Ohio, there's only 5 counties that are now red. The rest are all green and yellow, which means, and given how strict they are in moving you into the danger zone, and they truly are, I mean, it's the numbers are so small that will make you move. That's incredible, but still necessary. All schools are either shut down or operating under rigid conditions. I'm digressing. Forget it. You call in with questions about your own personal life, your own existence, people in your lives, situations you struggle with, circumstances. This can go from, oh my, from infants to elderly. This can go from atheists to saints. The gamut. G-A-M-U-T, not gambit. Gambit is an opening move, and as in chess, you know, pawn to queen two or whatever that is. Makes me sound intelligent. Hope I didn't blow it. The gamut from little bit of stress to huge generic psychological question. I can't do therapy here. I can't diagnose here, and I certainly will not weigh in on what a therapist is telling you if you're seeing one. But we can certainly see what we can do to help you. I'll give you a thought or two or even just have fun. All right? Some people call in and go, "Well, you didn't help me, but it was nice talking to you." I'll take that. 877-573-7825. My very first book was titled You're a Better Parent Than You Think. I began it after about 3 years at the mental health center in Lisbon, Ohio, because I kind of became the family guy. And I saw a lot of parents. This was way back. I don't want to say when it was, but I wrote it on lambskin, okay? Happy? Borrowed it from Teresa Tomeo. She had a bunch of them. And after about 3 years, I saw this insecurity. And this was back then. It's a lot worse now. Insecurity, second-guessing, wanting to be psychologically correct among parents. And the book, which is interesting because there's no way I should have gotten that book published. That book was published through Prentice Hall, which is a major New York publisher. I was a literary nobody, an unknown failure. Today, I've progressed. I am a known failure. No way should that book have been published. But because the thesis was unique, as they saw it, which is we're messing parents up, they said, we gotta consider this. And my editor at the time was a guy with a couple of kids, so I think he fit the perfect profile of an overthinking, well-educated parent. In the book, I talked a lot about the over-psychologizing of parenthood, because that's the focus of the book. But since then, I have talked even more about the over-psychologizing of life in these United States. So much. The psychologists have taken over where once the domain was priests and pastors. And we've over-psychologized, I think, everything. Today, I choose to give you one area. You know that you have heard these phrases. Anger management issues. He has anger control problems. He's definitely has anger issues. Now, you know, whenever you use the word issue, you can automatically assume psychology is creeping in. I wrote a book some years ago called Fighting Mad, Conquering Anger. One of the chapters I focused on what we've done with the language. We don't really say he has a temper, he doesn't control his emotions. No. These are all some kind of vaguely or even overtly psychological conditions. I've had clients who have trouble losing their temper. They just get mad. And they get mad because of the way they think, and they typically get mad because things aren't going the way they want them to go. And I have had people in their family circumstances, environment, say, well, they need to go to a psychiatrist to get medication to stop that. Really? About all the medication is going to do is dampen their whole persona. And then maybe they'll be less likely to lose their temper because they'll have less energy. Or, we need to explore their childhood and find out why they are this way. And I say, well, even if we did that, and even if we did find out some of the ingredients from way back when that were involved in them being this way, are we going to go back and undo it? Are we going to say, okay, you had an alcoholic mother, and she was hostile and unpredictable, and you didn't have much of a stable family? All right, now that you know that, don't lose your temper anymore. See, to frame it like don't lose your temper, well, that sounds like something Uncle Fred would say to you, right? Or your dad. Hey, quit losing it. Get a grip. Well, that ain't psychological. Psychological is, well, we have to delve into the anger management issues and really attempt to find the trigger points for these particular outbursts that are self-defeating. Okay, I suppose I can put it like that, but the bottom line is you're still losing your cool. And, in many respects, you're allowing it to happen. This is not an impulse that overtakes you, and pretty soon you can't stop it. And I use this example. I'll ask a person, in those circumstances where you are most likely to let your emotions run amok, good word, huh? Amok, A-M-O-K, I believe, as opposed to amok, A separate word, M-U-C-K, which means quagmire, which could fit it too. In those situations, if I walked in and said, here is a check for $1 million if you stop within 2 seconds, would people say, oh, I'd love to have it, but I'm just mad. Just mad. That's it. I mean, my emotions are running me. There's nothing I can do about it. I have anger management issues. I'm out of control. You keep your stinking $1 million. What do you think? Would that be the response of most people? How about if I said, I got a check for $100,000? You think they'd say, well, if you offered me $1 million, I'd do it, but not for a cheap $100,000. I still think 100% of people would do it for $100,000. How about $10,000? $10,000? I'll bet you. $1,000? I'll bet you. 99.9999% of people would stop within 2 seconds. So this belies the justification that I can't control myself. Just the way it is. I have anger management issues, and pretty much they run me. So keep your crummy $1,000. How about $10? Yeah, I'm not stopping for $10. There's no way. But you see the reality just now revealed, which is you can stop if the stakes are high enough. So let's say your anger outburst hurts somebody. Is that a high stake? How much do you hurt them by what you say? How much of a goof do you look like? How much guilt do you feel afterwards? How much do you think, what is wrong with me? See, there's a lot of sequelae. Ooh, it's a word I've been aching to use. With anger. Why isn't that enough to stop you? Are you saying that $1,000 will stop you, but all the pain and hurt and guilt and regret is not enough? $1,000 more valuable than all that. And if that's what we're saying, which I believe that is what most of us would say, then what value does that put upon letting our anger run loose? 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal the number. Like to hear from you.
You're not fit yet.
Not fit. I'm the doctor.
No, doctor. I'm the doctor, and I say that you're not fit.
You may be a doctor, but I'm the doctor.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
I don't know.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. It took 30 to 60 years after Christ's resurrection for the Gospels to be written. Why weren't they written on the spot? First, the habit of the time was to memorize. Besides, there were no printing presses, scribes were expensive, and illiteracy was high. Second, written records were deemed inferior to an eyewitness who could tell you what happened. Third, The New Testament authors were preoccupied with travel and evangelization, and it's hard to write from a donkey's back. And fourth, the early church expected Christ to return within a few years, so why bother? In the end, these reasons contributed to the broad and quick establishment of the church throughout the known world. And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Okay, let me just do this, and I know that this, well, I can relate this to something I've talked about, the whole idea of phobias. As I've said in the past, a phobia is generally defined as a life-constricting fear that is totally out of proportion with realistic risk. So let me give you a couple of stats here. And I can't argue with these stats because these are the stats that are presented. I don't want people emailing me and saying, well, you're cherry-picking the research. I'm not cherry-picking any research. I'm just giving you the numbers as they are presented to us. As of Thursday, here in Stark County, 168 people have died of COVID. There are 370,000 people in Stark County. That is 0.05%. So that is not only 1/100th. It is not only 1/1000th. It is 5/10,000ths. Every life is potent, Dr. Ray. Yes, yes it is. Yes it is. But the question becomes, what distance do you go to save a life given that there are repercussions on other lives? Let me give you this one. This comes from a state representative here in Ohio. Our governor has told us that we are smack in the middle of the COVID epidemic. That's what he said last week. Ohio has an active COVID case 0.1%. Active COVID, that means you have the virus. It doesn't mean you will be hospitalized from the virus. It doesn't mean you will even be seriously sick from the virus. It just means you tested positive. 0.1%. So that is 1 in 1,000. And the kids who are jogging for soccer are wearing their masks outside because they're told they have to. Where is the balance? Emily, St. Augustine, and the rule on this program is, anybody calling from any saint city, which they're all going to be canceled, by the way. You can't have cities with saints. They got to be canceled. Emily from Mr. Augustine, Florida. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Thank you
for
the call. I am fine. You sound pretty young.
32, so I feel pretty young.
I'll tell you what, I got a pencil in my briefcase that's older than 32. Go ahead.
Well, I just have a question. I recently, at the end of 2019, moved back in with my mother because my husband is in the military and he was going to be deployed to Germany right before I had our firstborn. Mm. So I moved home so I could be with family. And I'm still living there now. And my mom is just, she comes from a huge Catholic family, 13 kids. She's the oldest, but she is just so unhappy. with her life right now, and it is just causing problems between me and her, just because it's like I just want her to snap out of it, basically.
Emily, that's what's causing the problem. The problem is not being caused by the fact your mother's unhappy. The problem is being caused because you don't want her to be unhappy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good, though, because now, because you can control you, you can't control her. So that's good. That's good news.
Yeah.
So she's unhappy and miserable. It says here your parents were separated 15 years ago, right?
Yes. They've never gone through with the actual divorce, but, you know, my father has absolutely moved on with his life, and we have a family business, so we're all still really connected and, like, see each other all the time. So it's not like, you know, my dad and my mom never see each other. Like, everyone sees each other. It's just how this family still is. And
she's bitter because he seems to be reasonably content without her, and all she sees is she's miserable because things just haven't gone as she had hoped.
Yeah, because she thinks that my dad's going to come back one day to her. And honestly, growing up, like, they were absolutely terrible to each other. Like, I remember saying, like, oh, whenever I was little, oh, I wish you guys would just get a divorce, because whether we would be in the car at a restaurant, like, they just were terrible to each other, you know. And I just look at my mom, and she's a wonderful Catholic woman, and she just
why doesn't her faith enter into her moods?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's almost like she's like, well, you know, she can't move on because, you know, the church, you don't get remarried. And it just seems like a few years ago, I just was like, you are just hiding behind the faith in a way. Like, I'm not saying she has to move on and get married, but I just want her to move on and be happy, because their wedding anniversary was
Emily?
3 days ago.
Emily?
Yes?
How many years of not moving on and being happy is enough for you to say, I think she's not going to move on and be happy?
Well, I don't think she ever is anymore. Now that I'm living with her and
there
I
you
just
go.
See, like...
Now you got it. So, I don't know how your mom defines being a devout Catholic. Maybe she defines it in terms of religious traditions that she practices and that she holds on to. But in terms of her own peace, her own mood, her own charitable reaching out for others because she's so miserably self-absorbed, she doesn't do that.
Well, it's almost like she does too much for people, too. Like, she's so wonderful to everybody, but she's not wonderful to herself, and it just upsets me.
You now see up close and personal your mom's struggles.
Yeah.
And if you could not hear what she said, in other words, she opened her mouth, but you could not hear the words, okay?
Yeah.
Would you be as miserable about it? No, right? I'll answer for you because I'm running out of time. No. So... you can do the next best thing.
Yeah.
You're going to have to let her words go in one ear and out the other. Don't respond to them. Quit trying to tell her what she needs to do to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up. Now, I know people are thinking, Dr. A, as a Christian, we don't give up. We just are faithful, ever faithful, and we just keep helping people. Yeah, but you're not helping her.
Right.
All it does is make you miserable and doesn't move her one inch.
Yeah.
So if I were you, I'd do two things. Emily, I'd do two things, dear. One, quit responding to her misery. And two, really work hard on your own desire to have her feel better, because that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So there you go. And three... wait for your hubby to get home so you can go live in an apartment. And you'll get along a lot better with her. Bless you, dear. Good call. 877-573-7825. Please give me a call. I would love to hear from you. Really would. You know that.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Oh, when I'm, that's the kind of music that makes you want to go get a beer stein. Where'd you find that? Dr. Ray Guarendi program, Doctor is in. 877-573-7825-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program if you have a question about something. Or as more of the questions are coming in and more of my clients are coming in with these matters, the whole COVID reaction. And by the way, have you seen the size of some of the protests in foreign countries? We're talking tens and tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people saying, give us our lives back. Huge. Had one in Germany of 1 million people. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. You want to comment? You want to call those issues or life issues? Now, I remember when I was in grad school being exposed to Primal Scream. Now, the Primal Scream was you had to go back and you had to relive the birth experience. It was traumatic. It was the Aboriginal trauma. In other words, you went from an environment of dark, moisture, fluid, I repeat myself, into this intense stimulatory experience of colors and voices that were clear and loud and everything. And oh, what a shock to the system. Wait a minute. All right. Did you just change that? That was not Cindy's question. Was Cindy, I thought you were asking about Primal Scream.
Hi, Dr. A.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see what's going on here on this. See below. All right. I don't. Eric's playing games. That's not your question, is it?
No.
Well, that makes me want to scream. All right. What is your question there, Cindy, if not Primal Scream, which would have been easier to answer? Primal Scream is just a bunch of nonsense. But go ahead.
Sure. Is it more appealing to endure the suffering of the false than to accept the responsibility of the truth?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Rejecting the truth and sort of waiting in false beliefs? Is it easier to do that than to take on the responsibility of living
in truth? As Christ said, I've come to testify to the truth. And old Pilate said, what is truth? Yeah, he portended our culture attitude. Well, it's pretty ugly out there because of the fall. There's no question about that. This place is not a nice place to live. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of evil. As Scripture says, the forces of evil kind of run the operation. However, in the end, evil loses. At least if you're a believer and you're a Christian and you recognize that God's kind of running the whole shebang, in the end, he's pretty clear that evil loses. So it would behoove you, it would be greatly in your self-interest, if you just even want to look at it that way, to try to live according to God's truth than the cultural truth. Because the cultural truth's going to lose. And in the short term, the cultural truth doesn't work anyway. There's boatloads of psychological studies that have said certain kinds of living styles that our culture says is just so wonderful, you know, multiple divorces and no children, just choosing all kinds of things that you think are for your own individual good turn out to be a course of psychological suffering, spiritual dead end. So I guess I'm going to say it, somewhat robbing Pascal of his wager, which is, what do you got to lose? It is better to live in what you understand of God's truth than to chase what the culture says is true, because one, it's kind of shown itself over and over again not to work, and two, in the end, it's going to come to nothing. That's what I think. Anyway, is that what you think?
Okay. Sure.
All right. Thank you, dear.
All right.
I'll talk to you.
Thanks, Dr. A.
All right. Mm-hmm. Pam from Piedmont, South Dakota. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I go by Pamela.
Oh, hi, Pamela. How can I help you?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm really in line with their thinking on COVID. And I hadn't checked the death toll for months, and I did, and it was like out of 8,000 people who died, I believe it was on Sunday in America, mm-hmm. only like 194 were listed as COVID, which of course we know are pretty inflated. So that's pretty remarkable that it's that low, and we're still doing the same things.
Yeah, that's what I think what is frustrating a lot of people, which is all of this in the beginning was geared toward, we have to get a grip on this. We have to let our hospitals be ready to take any onslaught. We have to make sure that it doesn't exponentially explode among the population. Well, all the data we have now, all the statistics we have now, is that we've done that. And that if you look at the numbers, they have stabilized out at a fraction of what they were. But we're still doing much of the same kinds of things, other than the lockdowns, which now more research is coming out that say lockdowns really don't work. But you're right, and that's the frustration. Our governor recently said, this is what frustrates me, because, again, I question the transparency. I'm a shrink. I listen to what you say. When he mandated masks throughout the state, it was his rationale was, we need 4 to 6 weeks. That's all we need to conquer this. If you can do that for me, people, 1 month, come on, please, you can do that, and we'll all get back to normal. Well, that was 9 weeks ago. And he was asked recently, when will the mask mandate be abrogated? And he said, when we have a vaccine. And then, a little later, he said, when we have a vaccine and enough people agree to take it.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see, so that's what frustrates people. Be straight here. But they know.
And if I can add.
Well, yeah, they know that if they tell you the legit reality up front, people are going to balk. But they didn't do that. They said, no, no, we need 15 days to slow the spread, to flatten the curve. That 15 days was something like 190 days ago. So, yeah, people are getting frustrated, and you're seeing it in other countries, too. There was a huge demonstration just recently in Hong Kong. Huge! Saying, hey, look what you're doing to our lives over this level of risk. And see, that seems to be the key. What is the balance between the effect on lives at every level and the risk? Thanks, Pamela. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray, why are you talking about this? I'll tell you why I'm talking about it. Because it is the culturally biggest psychological impact I have ever seen as a shrink in 40-plus years.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The breadth of power that liberal governors such as Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and Andrew Cuomo in New York seek to wield against private citizens during this current pandemic is frightening. Contrary to their views, our federal constitutional rights don't go away in an emergency. These governors feel only a nominal constraint by our Constitution, as evidenced by the restrictions they have imposed on our liberty. Under the banner of public health, they believe that their power is plenary and that the Constitution has little role, if any, in curtailing that power. They are mistaken. Indeed, there is no pandemic exception to the fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. If the courts, and more importantly, we the people who ultimately control the fate of these politicians at the ballot box, were to simply accept the governor's actions and acquiesce to their power grab, then it is the fiat of the governors and not the Constitution that is the supreme law of the land. We aren't willing to surrender our freedoms so easily. We filed multiple federal civil rights lawsuits against both governors in federal courts in Michigan and New York. In the final analysis, if we don't demand our God-given inalienable rights, then they will be lost. Fight for freedom or lose it. It's that simple. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
I am tired. I'm just so tired. I thought I was going to get enough sleep. But what happened was I took a late shower yesterday and I had a good hair day. Yeah. And you can't stay home when you have a good hair day. I didn't know where I was going to go. You know, it's like 7:30 at night and another hour I'd be in my Afghan and bunny slippers. But I had to go out somewhere. Maybe I went to the drugstore and Home Depot, something like that. So that's why I'm tired, because I mean I was out till close to 8:45, I think, something like that. Came in and just fell down on the couch. Didn't even have energy to go up and get my bunny slippers. Now my hair doesn't look good today because I slept on it. I hate when that happens. Okie dokie, 877-573-7825. Michael is confused. Michael from Spokane. Most people pronounce it Spokane because it has an E on the end. And this is why the English is so hard to learn for people, because we don't follow our own rules. When you have an E on the end of it, it makes the immediately preceding vowel long, but it's not. Those people in Spokane don't want to say Spokane, which is what they're supposed to say if they follow linguistic laws. Anyway, Michael says there's a lot of Catholics who have no problem voting for a political figure at every level who clearly says, I totally support laws. I totally will vote for laws that say it is okay to kill, and I'm not going to say abort. I'll say kill because that's what it is. You kill a mosquito, you kill a fly. You go hunting, you kill an animal to kill a baby, even as it is being born. Michael says, how do you talk to such folks? Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dr. Ray, calling from Spokane, home of Bing Crosby, Gonzaga basketball.
Was Bing Crosby from Spokane?
Well, you know, believe it or not, most people find that hard to believe. He was born in Tacoma, and he was Bing Crosby. He was raised here in Spokane. He went to Gonzaga Prep, Gonzaga University. But, you know, he was great. There's a house here where he grew up with his family here in Spokane near the Gonzaga campus, and it's got all his family photos and his mom and dad, and I've been in there. So it's
when,
great.
When I used to play in the restaurant and supper clubs, and sometimes somebody would ask me if you could pick any voice to sing, whose? I said, no question, Bing Crosby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nope. Absolutely.
No,
absolutely. You know, there was a movie on Going My Way on one of the cable channels here.
Well, that won an Academy Award.
It did. Yeah,
this goes to show you how much Hollywood has absolutely degenerated when you got a movie about a priest with a boys group winning an Academy Award. Can you imagine that even now? Not even
that wouldn't happen.
No,
it would not happen, Dr. Ray. No, Hollywood's in the sewer for the most part. For sure.
So you want to figure out how to talk to somebody who votes pro-abortion?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have got, you know, a prime example is Kamala Harris, who's a vice presidential nominee. He's very anti-Catholic. When people go before the judiciary hearings in Washington, D.C., she questions them about their Catholic faith. She's very much against the Knights of Columbus. And all this is on the record with Kamala Harris. She supports abortion up to birth. In California, as Attorney General, she helped close Catholic hospitals because they would not perform abortions. So when people vote, they got to think what they're getting. And she is very anti-Catholic and and supports abortion up to birth. And how do you also? I know there's racial vineyard, but what ways do you recommend for healing with those who had abortions?
Okay, now you're asking two questions here, Michael. One is how do we talk to Catholics who say abortion is only one issue?
Let's start with that. Yeah.
Okay. And typically, I would ask them, how have they decided that killing a baby is okay? And they'll say, I don't think it's okay. I don't agree with it at all. Okay? But it's not my place to tell somebody else how to live. And I usually say, well, what if somebody wants to own a slave? And it's okay with the slave. Would that be okay with you? That's different. Tell me how it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them, I'd say things like, do you think that this is only one of a whole bunch of issues? Minimum wage, immigration, taxation. Is that only one? Is the death of a baby equal to those issues? You defend your position to me. Well, I can't stand the other candidates. Okay. You don't like them. I got that personally. Maybe you don't agree with policies. Okay. Got that. So I want to just know what you're saying. You're basically saying that it's okay with you if somebody wants to say legally and use their political power to say anybody who so chooses can kill a baby. I just want to know if that's what you're saying. But see, they don't know what they're saying. And half of them don't even know the political stances of the candidates they vote for. You know that, Michael.
Right.
You know that. I remember I was talking to a relative, and he's older. This was just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And both he and his wife, who are Catholic, and they're very Catholic, they have no idea the differences in the abortion life sphere of the candidates. They have no idea. And if you would point that out to them, they don't believe it. No, that's not true. They don't believe it. What do you do? What do you do? I will tell you this, though. I personally am disappointed. I am disappointed that I wish our religious shepherds would speak more clearly about these matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Catholic vote, as you define it...
That's critical. It's the swing vote.
Well, it's also, sadly, it is also as much pro-abortion as it is pro-life. Now, that's a little misleading because it's anybody who calls themselves Catholic. If you drill down further into weekly mass goers, or drill down even further into daily mass goers, those people who, by measurement, seem to take their faith much more an active part of their lives, then yes, they vote pro-life much more often. But of the people who use the word Catholic to describe their religious orientation, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I know. It shows you the unbelievable power that the media has to shape how people think. And unless they put forth the effort into looking into it, and there's ways to look into it, come on, they just simply they float along with what they're told. My son called me today. He's 23 years old. He's 23 years old. And he was talking to a girl who basically dresses very immodestly and goes out and comes to see him. And he says, why did you do that? Why would you dress like that? And she said, well, are you judging me? He said, no, I'm just asking, what are you saying when you go out like that to a bar? Well, those guys, they shouldn't look at me that way. And he said, well, they do. Well, she just got angry at him. She got mad. She did not want to hear it. Hey, Michael, thank you, buddy. I'm way past break. I appreciate it. I'll be right back.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at solidarityhealthshare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Does the Fourth Commandment only order us to honor our father and our mother? According to the Catholic Catechism, it also obliges us to give honor and respect to all whom for our good God has vested with his authority. Respecting the Fourth Commandment, says the Catechism, brings its own reward, not only with spiritual fruits, but temporal benefits of peace and prosperity, whereas failure to observe the commandment brings harm to individuals and communities. We are reminded that marriage and the family is ordered to the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of children. The Catechism states a man and a woman united in marriage together with their children is what forms a family. God instituted the human family when he created man and woman and instructed them to increase and multiply. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Little boogie woogie. See that left hand going up and down like it's supposed to? This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, co-production of EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Communications with my cohorts there in Ave Maria Ann Arbor area. Andrew Kruchek, producer man, board operator, and Eric Dumont, call screamer. Television show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, season number 9. Still airing, I think, the new stuff on season 9. Having a little trouble putting together season 10, as you would expect. It's going to be very difficult getting people for the audience. Put a lot of the cardboard stuff up. You know, if the pro sports can do it, we can do it. Tom from Bismarck, North Dakota. By the way, I was coming to Bismarck, and they canceled, Tom. You know that?
I didn't know that. I'm sorry about that.
Yep, coming in November.
I'll have to go see you, maybe raise my IQ a little bit.
Well, you can raise your IQ just this way. You don't have to come in person.
So I'm not calling with a question. It's more of just a comment of a silly situation I saw that backs up your position on the risk we're willing to take with this COVID virus.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving down the freeway, I-94, at 75 miles an hour, which is a speed limit. I was passed by a couple on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. So they're doing at least 80 because they're passing me. And neither of them have helmets on. Neither of them have leather chaps or pants or leather garments on. If they wreck, they are going to be very, very hurt or probably killed.
They'll peel them off the concrete with a spatula.
That's it. But the lady in the back, who has entrusted her entire life to her husband, driving on a Harley at 80 miles an hour, has on a mask. I just laughed.
No.
I cannot believe it.
No, no.
Yes. At 80 miles an hour, that little COVID virus might have come out and got her.
You know, the two, by far, the two riskiest types of behavior in the U.S. health-wise are smoking and obesity. And obesity is one-third of adults, and two-thirds are overweight, one-third are obese. That's a high risk. That is a tremendously high risk. I asked an internist once, I said, what percentage of your clients are affected by their weight, their excess weight? He says, 80 to 90%. So that's a real risk. That is a major league risk across the culture. But yet, depends upon what the media has decided to focus upon. To make people not wear helmets and wear a mask. Maybe she was afraid of bugs in her teeth. I don't know.
I don't know either. I just laughed. I couldn't get my phone out fast enough to take a video of it.
Oh, good. You would have plowed into something while you were trying to take a video while you're driving at 75 miles an hour. Talk about risky behavior.
Yeah, that would have been just as risky. But anyway, I just wanted to share.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, you can find unbelievable inconsistencies in what people select as risk. In the past, I've done monologues on the top 10 fears that people have, and they are nowhere near the actual level of risk posed by other types of lifestyles and practices. None. Terrorist was in the top 10. There for a while after Jaws, shark attacks was in the top 10. But things like heart illnesses, which is the number one killer of by far in the U.S., not in the top 10. So the real risks were pretty much ignored because why? Well, we live with them. By the way, I want to comment on Margaret. Margaret says. And she was being really cute about it. She says, I'm making fun of her city's names. Yeah, probably. I live in Canton. Now, if I was in China, it'd be Canton. You know? So anyway, I got to go. I'm getting very, very close to the end. I want to thank all of you for your company. As always, you're delightful. And I learned a canton from you folks. I truly do. I appreciate it very much. And all the folks there in Ann Arbor and EWTN behind the scenes who make it happen. I thank you. And callers today, I'm just thanking everybody right now because I got like 20 seconds to kill and I don't know what else to say. That's what you do. You don't want dead air. See, Andrew comes on and he says 30, then he goes 20, then he goes 10. All right. Well, I'll start my closing line and then the music will take over. Walk with God. Now, that's not a risk. It's a risk if you don't walk with God. Trust me on that one.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.